What's going on, man?
I don't know, man. I just feel like, you know, welcome everybody. This is the Never Ending Adventure podcast, of course, an Adventure Time podcast. But I really just feel like right now, like making your way through the world today, like, gosh, it just takes everything you got. You know, it really just takes everything you got, man. Like sometimes, like taking a break from all your worries, like sure, it would help a lot. Yeah, that's what I was gonna do, yeah. And then you freaking went right into
right into the Cheers reference song. I thought I was making a way in the world today. Takes a fresh pair of socks.
Oh, is that what it is? That's yeah, not what yeah, that's, it is.
That was the original lyrics.
Was it really?
No, not at all.
Oh my gosh, you said it again. Well, so welcome everybody. Son of a bitch, fresh pair of cocks. This is
what?
No, sorry. Anyways, moving on. Y'all, welcome to the Never Ending Adventure podcast. As I said, today we're going to be talking about, one of the first, I guess, really, this is like the third, or really second, even like big episode with Simon and Marceline. Aside from, of course, we've covered the Fiona and Cake miniseries, or the series that's going on right now, earlier in the year or last year. What is
it? Yeah, all through the fall last year.
Right. And a lot of people were worried. I just want to go ahead and get this out there. I think all of y'all who were like, gosh, you can't do this. Like, Russell is going to spoil so much stuff for Russell. I don't remember anything, y'all. Like, I feel so dumb. I watched this episode. I was doing it for NEA Reacts, which is something we do for the Patreon. If you subscribe to the Patreon, of course, you get the NEA Reacts, the NEA and Beyond podcasts and all that stuff is all part of it. And I was reacting to this. I was sitting there with Allie, and me and Allie were just like, wait, like, how did Simon become a human in Fiona and Cake? Like, how did, like, there were just so many questions that I had that I was like, I swear we talked about this. Like, I didn't even remember the Oozers. I was like, oh, a goo boy. You're like, look at the little goo boys. So I think anyone who is really nervous about me getting things spoiled for me and it ruining this podcast or something like that, like, please don't be too worried. Yeah. I'm dumb. So, you know, it's going to be good.
It kind of reminded me, like, going back through this episode specifically, that, yeah, like, you are going to pick up on some things. This episode's not going to be as confusing or like, oh my gosh, canon episode as it was when it, like, did come out. For you specifically, because we did so much around Simon and Marceline and some past stuff and how a lot of things get resolved. But a lot of, again, kind of what happens between the Simon and Marcy episode here, between Fiona and Cake, like, you don't know how it really bridges together. And that's probably why you're like, oh, there are a lot of, like, unanswered questions that I wasn't even thinking about until, like, if we had done this episode and then done Fiona and Cake, you would have been like, I've got a lot of questions, like, now. Like,
yeah, where does this episode sits in an interesting place, right? It is.
Yeah, so we have seen young Marcy and Simon in the regular series twice up until this point. One was Memory of a Memory, when Finn and Jake are kind of in Marceline's memory. She's a little bit more battered and tattered. Hambo looks in a little bit, like, worse shape because, you know, I think she was, like, had lost an eye or something.
Yeah, and there's Hambo. Like, no Simon anywhere.
Simon
to be
wasn't
seen.
Around. And then the second time we'd seen it was when the whole episode when Marcy and Simon are writing the song together.
Yes, I remember you, which I kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit. I did go back and relive at least part of the Holly Jolly Secrets Part 2, which, of course, is, like, what we learn about. And this is a review. Y'all know this stuff, but this was kind of more for me than for anybody.
Yeah, you're picking up pieces all over the place.
Yeah, like, anyone, like, going back through the show for the first time in a while or whatever since childhood, right? So, like, we learn he's an antiquarian. We learn about his fiancée named Betty. He purchased a strange jewel crown from an old dock worker in northern Scandinavia. He begins to lose it, goes crazy. Betty leaves him. She even says that she looked at him with such contempt, or he says that about the way that she looked at him. And I remember that just like freaking shooken me, you know, when we first watched that episode.
None,
but anyways,
I feel shooketh.
Season 4, episode 25, I Remember You. Ned, freaking, this one messed me and Allie up, yeah. Man. I mean, I knew it was going to be a good one. I was looking forward to watching this episode. I wasn't crying, but there was no part of me that was like, wow, that was tough to hear. I could definitely, if it kept going, I might have been brought to tears. Allie looks at me and says something, and she kind of has that like, kind of like broken up voice sounding. And it was because she was feeling the exact same way that I was. Yeah. I was just like, what did we just watch? Like, it's so good. And it's so much like torture in a way. Like their story is just so beautiful. You get to see, Ice King reveals, or he mentions at the very beginning of the episode, he's got a way tortured past. He's got these diaries that are still wet with tears, you know? And so like all this implications of like, he still goes down there and subconsciously like cries over these things that he doesn't realize why he's doing it. Right. And, goes to create tunes with Marceline to pick up chicks. Apparently he's been going back there for years and years now. And Marceline, like, it's kind of torturing her. Like, she hates that he keeps showing up. But then she lets him stay. And then he subconsciously admits that he's like lonely and feeling like something's wrong with him. Just wishes somebody would like help him or whatever. Then they end up connecting, and she gets a little bit of closure through music, and especially the song "Remember You," where he speaks to the magic that's driving him crazy, and mentions, and this is like written about Marceline, like, please forgive me for whatever I do when I don't remember you. And of course, cue the tears for everybody. So that kind of brings us to where we are today in this episode.
It's a very important thing to note, because even this episode kicks off with them just playing basketball on Marceline's like front porch in the house in the cave. And that's a big deal, because exactly what you bring up is that in the I Remember You episode, it's her going, I told you not to come around here anymore. I don't want you to be a part of my life. It's too painful for Marceline to be around Simon. And it's been 1,000 years since then, or now we know 996 years up to this point. But it's a good bridge that the I Remember You episode had to happen in order for Marceline to be like, okay, like, I am going to, like you said, close that chapter of my life and stop thinking about Simon in a way that he just hurts me all the time, and move forward and be like, I do love him. And I can still love him and take care of him. And honestly, that's why this episode is so powerful, because you see exactly how he took care of Marceline. And that's kind of what she's doing now. He took care of her by basically becoming crazy, sacrificing himself by becoming, like, very knowingly sacrificing his mind for her. And so she's kind of returning the favor now by being like, I'm going to love on you still, even though you're crazy and even though you kind of don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I want you to be part of my life now again. So,
gosh, that's so good.
She's come to a new, I mean, it's a bummer that it took 1,000 years, but
yeah,
she's really coming to her own in the fact that, like, she's just opening her life back up to Simon, even though he has no idea what's going on.
Well, here's a really interesting point with that too. It mentions in that title card, it's like 996 years ago, like to this day, right? Like, it's an anniversary. Like, she invited him over to play basketball, to hang out, as like a reason or an anniversary of this memory that she has. And this is the story that she chooses to tell when she goes, oh, well, like, it's been a long time. Somebody should have told this story to somebody by now. And it happened on this day all those years ago. Why is it that this day and this story is the one that's being told? And we had three thoughts on why that might be. The first one is it's the day that he broke a promise to her. He wore the crown again after promising not to. And like, that was just so big for her in her mind. And two, it could be the day she realized that he wouldn't be around forever. You know, like, he starts to slip up in this episode. He starts to go crazy, calls her Gunter twice, when he doesn't even have the crown on, you know, and there, we can get into it in a minute, but he's obsessed with soup. He's like, soup's the way that I'm going to cure this little girl. And there's a real world reason for that. We'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, and of course, like going to Supri and all this stuff, it's just so funny to me that his mind just gets, he's just like, oh, you know what's going to cure this? Some chicken noodle soup. But then number three, it's the day that she felt that she was truly loved by someone else and someone that was willing to go out of his way to danger himself to keep her from harm. So those are like the three, like for whatever reason, like this day really matters to her. And it was so intentional in my mind that she told this story, you know, on the anniversary of this memory.
Yeah. Because there obviously also is like, I'm pretty sure because Marceline was what? I'm trying to remember the timeline here because it's
she's seven.
I think she was 3 years old because she's seven there and it's been 996 years. I may not be mathing, just early morning mathing, but essentially like they've also been in this like wilderness for probably a number of years at this point too.
I don't know because they don't recognize. Yeah, I guess because she's definitely a toddler when he finds her, but you know, she didn't know what a deer was. And then also they had never seen oozers before. And the oozers were like in the front seat of the clambulance. Like,
yeah,
it just doesn't really add up in my mind. Like, why is it that these, maybe it's the radiation over time. Like they were just dead bodies everywhere. And then over time, the radiation like caused the mutations to occur.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not really sure. I'm assuming the oozers are just people that have turned into oozers, right?
Yeah. I should have done like a math timeline, but it's essentially this, what the story we're seeing is they've obviously been together for a while. He's put on the crown enough to become a little bit crazier. And like a little bit looking more like the actual Ice King and enough times to where she knows. But you know what they have been doing is they've obviously been going a lot just through the woods and through not any like heavily populated areas. And that's kind of a big thing too, if you think about zombie movies. And I was going to talk a little bit about that, like zombie movie stuff. But like, you think like, I mean, I think the bad thing that zombie movies don't do well is like, when you go in the middle of nowhere, like the USA is a huge country. Like, when you get out into some remote areas, like you probably would not know there was a zombie apocalypse for years.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there wouldn't be, you know, anything but one person in one house. And like, unless you were, you know, attracting them with huge noises. The big thing I think maybe with the oozers here is that I think they allude to this being Los Angeles because of it looks like the Los Angeles River.
Yeah.
So maybe it was like kind of one of the first times maybe that they've gone into like a heavily populated area specifically because they need the soup. Maybe they've never had to do that before.
Well, the thought too, and I may have read this, but I'm pretty sure I read this actually on the Wikipedia, you know, it was kind of talking about how perhaps, and I don't know if I like this theory because I don't think it's enough to make her sick, but when he is fighting the deer and he's losing his mind, and he's floating up in the air or whatever, and he freezes this deer like crazy enough to where they end up cooking the deer later because clearly this deer is going to die, right? He ends up spraying some snow onto Marceline to kind of distract her, and that's the reason for her falling ill.
I do think that because it's just so subtle.
It's so small in my mind.
It's so subtle, but I think it's important to note that because it's kind of like what he thinks he's doing to protect Marceline is actually more detrimental in general, like, and not just to her health because she gets this cold and gets sick, but because the more and more he gets crazy, the more and more he's not going to be able to help her, which is going to be more detrimental. And again, we saw in Fiona and Cake, in the universe where Simon doesn't protect Marceline, she becomes the slave to the Vampire King, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Would you tell me about the real world reason that he's so obsessed with soup as the way that he's going to solve Marceline's sickness?
Well, I think there's the writer's version, like our real world reason. And I think there's what I call a How I Met Your Mother theory about it.
Okay.
Well, the first real world reason is that the animators, I think, had written the episode around he's going to go find medicine. He's going to go to the pharmacy, which is why there's
sick and nearly dying, right?
Yeah.
Like, she's like
sick
really
and nearly
ill.
Dying. And then that was just too dark. So like then he was going to see it, not a food truck, but an ambulance, which is why they call it the Clambulance. So the whole thing, I think, was written around it being really, really dark. And they were like, hey, that's like too dark for a kid's show to be like, yeah. She's going to die unless I get medicine. Now, the flip side of that, I think, is the How I Met Your Mother theory, where because Marceline's the one that's telling this story, that Simon,
oh, okay,
in the past was lying to her, being like, we have to go get you some chicken soup. That's going to make you feel better, when he was really talking about medicine. So he was lying to her to make her not like freak out. So he's like, oh, he goes to the pharmacy. She probably can't read.
Well, he definitely is like trying to avoid like, oh my gosh, you're sick. You know, he's just like, oh, it's gotten worse. And he's like, oh, hey, maybe it's time to go take a nap or go to sleep. Like,
exactly.
It's getting late sort of a thing. So I definitely would agree with that. Or like, here, let me carry you. Like, oh, come on. Like, you'll appreciate this later when you're older. Like, just playing it off. And he really, I mean, throughout the whole episode does an incredible job of just being a dad and trying to normalize this weird childhood that she's living, you know, like the dead rat in the mail. And he's like, oh, a cute traveling buddy, you know, or the VHS tape.
Well, he's,
and
he makes another dad joke. He's realizing that this is her new norm, so that he's not going to tell her to freak out about anything.
Doesn't want to make it any worse than it has to be.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's beautiful. Yeah.
My house canon for this is pretty simple. It's just the crown is molding his thoughts. And I actually really like what you just said with the How I Met Your Mother kind of theory about it.
Yeah, where Marceline remembers it that way.
Yeah.
But you know, there's not a supery that sells cards.
No,
like that was a pharmacy, you know. But Marceline remembers it as he took me to the supery.
Yeah, I think I was just like, well, you know, it's just his mind's just going crazy. So of course, like normal food's not gonna cure her, but like he for whatever reason just thinks like, oh, you know, you gotta get that chicken noodle soup. Seems like an Ice King thing. You know, so that's kind of where my mind went with it. But I think however you look at it, it works. But thinking about this episode with the perception of like, oh, she's supposed to be almost dead or like dying, and he's doing all he can to protect her and go find medicine and all that. Like if that's how they had done it, yeah, it's dark. It makes the episode just that much better for me.
Exactly.
Like, if you didn't know that, like I would go back and rewatch this episode just for the sake of like, oh, let's watch it from this perception now and get a little bit more out of it than before.
Yeah, I think the leading evidence to that actually being medicine and not soup, and again, either the way that Marceline was told it and remembers it, is that he gives her one bite and he's like, how do you feel? And I was like, dude, it's freaking antihistamines and Robitussin or something like that. You know? Like, it has to be.
Chicken noodle soup, dog. I'm telling you, that stuff will cure anything, man.
Cure anything.
It just depends on where you get it from. Like, gotta get the right brand. Gotta go with the right brand. No. But there's a moment too where she sneezes on Simon, right? And again, if you're thinking she's dying, like, and he's in this world, he's a human, like he's in a situation where getting sneezed on by whatever deadly illness that she might have and there's not doctors around could be terrible, could be like life-ending for him as well. And he plays it off and he's like, oh, you're gross. Like, oh, we're both gross, darling. You know, like it's all good. Don't worry about it. But, you know, that's just a sweet moment. I think it just plays into like how good of a father he is being. And I could not help myself. I know we try to avoid like main characters or important characters or obvious picks sometimes. But my lovely for this episode absolutely had to be Simon Petrikov.
Yeah, I mean, it was mine too. It was easily my, you can't not at this point.
No, he's a wonderful father doing everything he can to normalize this child's childhood. And get her through it and protect her. And he knows, like you said earlier, like he's well aware that donning the crown is to the detriment of himself. Like he's seen his fiance leave him because of the crown. Like he's seen his physical appearance change. He knows that things are getting worse and worse every time he puts it on. And he does a really good job of trying to keep that promise. And, you know, when they're in the supery, he uses the crown physically to knock out the oozer as opposed to put it on in an unnecessary situation. Though I will say, real damn quick to pull the trigger on the deer. Did not need the crown for the deer. But we don't know what he's seen over the past 4 years. Maybe there are other issues or reasons why he's had to put the crown on his head really quick. So I guess I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that one. I just, in my mind, it seemed as though maybe the crown is influencing his thought and influencing him and pushing him to look for excuses to put the crown on. And that promise to Marceline was enough until he absolutely had to not put it on.
I mean, you do kind of see, though, I'm glad, I mean, in Fiona and Cake, how he was pretty timid and he was pretty stubborn with Betty as well. That he like loved her a lot, but he really didn't listen to her a lot when it came to adventuring. So he is pretty stubborn and independent. And that's why when Marcy keeps pushing him to not, you know, put on the crown again, that he is pretty stubborn. He's like, I know what's best. I'm going to do this my way. I'm going to, you know, and so that's kind of like to his detriment. Now, the other thing, actually, I had another theme around that and kind of around like Betty and losing Betty and Marceline here that I don't want to breeze over this either. And I want to kind of see your thoughts around it too. That I think this episode specifically, and just mentioning the Cheers stuff and even what you said, kind of Marceline's instance with, hey, you know, get picked up. You won't be able to do it forever. That this theme of this episode is a lot of holding on to the past and moving on with the future in healthy ways too. So I think a lot of, kind of like you said, like the crown drove Betty away, but like they were adventurers together. They tried to find all these ancient artifacts. So I think his obsession with the crown is a little bit around protecting Marcy, obviously too, but a little bit of like the last kind of piece of Betty that he has.
Oh, interesting. Anymore. Yeah.
I see that too. And you know, the Cheers being his favorite show and his favorite song and kind of what's sticking with him there is like the words in the music. You want to go where everybody knows your name. Wouldn't it be nice? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And it's him kind of going, you know, I would rather go back to the way things were, go back to the way, the comfortable way things were. But Marceline is teaching him, like, again, that's, it's important that Marceline's in his life because she's teaching him, hey, like after Betty, after this, your normal life's disappeared, here, there's a way to go on and be happy and move on, you know? And I think that that's why that moment when he says, you're going to grow up one day and be too big to be held. So be held every time you get the opportunities. Mm-hmm. He's totally projecting on, hey, I had it all made in the shade, you know, in my past before. And if I could go back without things changing for the future, I would have taken every opportunity to be picked up. And like, mm-hmm. again, I think that that's projecting Betty. I would have told Betty I loved her 10 more times over. I wouldn't have put the crown. I wouldn't have driven Betty away. So it's kind of this weird fine moment. And I think that's the best moment of this episode is when he says that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's moving forward. He's very happy to be taking care of Marceline, but he still used to still see him broken up about Betty, like so much in like little subtle things that he says.
Yeah. You know? Well, that's cool, man. I definitely wasn't looking at this episode with the perception of like, oh, this is about Betty or the reason for the crime. But that makes sense. I mean, his mm-hmm. career, like his passion, his love, his, you know, fiance that he was obsessed with, like clearly. And as we learned, I mean, this is one thing I do remember a little bit from Fiona and Cake was kind of their rocky relationship and the way that he handled that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that you totally just brought that back to me. Which, gosh, you know, there are moments from that that I'm like, ah, I didn't love Simon in Fiona and Cake always. But at the end of the day, I do think, you know, he's I think in my mind, he is trying to do what he thinks is best for her and not just for himself to have her around or whatever.
Well,
and Marceline feels the same way, right? Like she is more afraid of what the crown's going to do to him than she mm-hmm. is about the oozers, than she is about the deer, than she is about anything else. All she cares about is like I don't want to lose you. Like, you are so valuable to me. Like, they clearly are a found family, and their journey together means so much to Marceline.
Yeah, And I think that that's, it's a big thing because it keeps her safe. But again, I think it's Simon learning the lesson he should have learned with Betty was like, yeah, I can't just do things my way all the time. I have to listen to who's around me. Like other people have my best interest in mind too, you know?
And I guess even he doesn't Marceline fully learn that until Fiona and Cake later on. So
I think again, he's moving forward with his life here and he's helping Marceline. He's helping her, you know, like, it's what we do a lot of the times with other people. We can give them advice that we never take, you know, or him always like normalizing things for her with this new future and being like, it's all good. It's all okay. Well, he's still beating himself up over losing Betty from what we know in Fiona and Cake, that he's still living every day of like, I got to find Betty and I got to do this. I got to get things back to the way they were. And he finally in Fiona and Cake is able to close that chapter of his book, you know?
Yeah. Huh. Well, man, I mean, I was so curious too. This is something that kind of shook me a little bit. We've got this pink sticky substance. And the only pink sticky substance I know about is bubble gum.
Yeah. So I wanted to see what you were going to, what are your theoretical thoughts?
It's got to be Princess Bubblegum, right? At the end of this episode, Bubblegum, for whatever reason, is all over this damn town. Doesn't make any sense. Nuclear fallout doesn't cause, unless there's a bubblegum factory in LA I don't know about, and it just explodes everywhere, and then the radiation or whatever, or nuclear fallout causes bubblegum to mutate into a living being of some sort. But at the end of this episode, the sticky substance that they've been climbing on, they get on top of the bridge, you know, he jumps into a tree and it like protects them just because it happens to be there, I'm guessing, or he jumps into it with that in mind and it rips his book bag off of him and stuff. And they go into this alleyway, he kills all the oozers or covers them with snow or whatever, saves the day, becoming the Ice King for a little bit. And then this pink bubblegum substance drops down, you know, a little can of chicken noodle soup and a thing to open it with, a can opener.
And gives him a little smile too. He kind of like
gives him a little smile in like a wink or something.
He winces at the little face that's in the bubblegum and it's kind of weird.
Yeah. So we looked at that, me and Allie looked at that. We were like, is that bubblegum? That's got to be bubblegum. That's the only thing I could think of when I was looking at that.
And you're right. You're right. So I'm trying to think of what I want to spoil here. I think I can kind of spoil this. It's nothing that pertains to anything that's going to like change anything from what we've already talked about and what you already know. Okay. There's a mother gum per se. So
a mother gum, Like a mother of bubble gum.
Yes. Like the source of where.
Is it Bazooka or is it Hubba Bubba? You got to tell me.
It's probably Hubba Bubba. Bazooka would dry out too quick and lose its flavor.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. Which is the one with the little comic books on the wrappers?
That's Bazooka.
That's Bazooka?
Oh, Hubba Bubba is the one that like stays like super chewy and flavorful for a long time.
Bazooka kind of blows.
Bazooka kind of blows.
I love the comic books.
But Big League Chew. Big League Chew is the best. That's all we got to know here.
Big League Chew is pretty sweet. It is pretty good. I love the sour apple flavor of Big League Chew. Oh, yeah.
The grape and the sour apple Big League Chew are the bomb. This is kind of a theory. Like, this is the mother gum that we're seeing. Okay. Kind of, I wouldn't call it hive mind. It's just kind of like the first, like, sentient gum, per se, I would say.
Oh.
But you got to also remember what's not a spoiler is that we've talked about the four elements, that the new elements of this newly created post mushroom war world is, fire, ice, slime, and candy. So this
forgot
what I would imagine is that this is some sort of transformation where yes, maybe the mother gum is starting here. Maybe it's just like more. I guess some element turning into gum. Like, I don't know if that would be like not water, obviously, but some other element of the world just turning into bubble gum. And then that gains sentience or whatever. And I don't think the oozers, I don't think that that's like slime because the oozers are not technically like of the slime kingdom. We'll see them. The oozers kind of play a role in the episode with James and the Jameses, I should say, in the future. The fans will know about that.
It sure looks like slime to me. I mean, like, or some sort of a radioactive
slime
inside
of them. But there is obviously, you know, slime princess in the slime kingdom. That's an element as well. So I don't think the oozers are slime. But this is the first time we do see that, like, candy and bubblegum is present. It's sentient to a degree. It's obviously not like a body of sentience, but remember that for when. Now we don't really get a distinct answer for this episode on like who was it, how was it, how did it get there. But candy as an element and bubblegum being sentient.
I don't remember the George R. R. Martin book, Candy and Slime. I know there's one on Ice and Fire or Fire and Ice, but
that'd be great Adventure Time lore too, like Game of Thrones style. The first, you know, go back to the first candy.
Yeah.
I don't even know the first because we gotta wait till we get
the mother gum, not the first candy elemental.
Well.
You
gotta understand in the sense of what Adventure Time gets along in the realm of catalyst comets and reincarnations and cycles of life, that like there was other worlds that existed even before like humanity, and like things reset themselves. So yes and no.
For sure.
This is beginning to build on that bigger universe, which is nice.
Cool. Well, dude, I got a tops for this episode. I don't think it's anything too special, but I did really love, and I just kind of want to hark back on, like, I love that Marceline and Ice King are in such a better spot in their relationship. Remember You clearly I Remember You was such an important episode for them and moment. And it's crazy to me that it took 1,000 years for them to finally have that. But it's so good that she got it because she needed it. And I think he needed it too. Clearly, subconsciously in his singing, his lyrics, he did. It's just great to see them like, hanging out and coming over and stuff, and also Finn and Jake's reaction.
Finn and Jake are playing with them,
It's a double tops because the way that Finn and Jake react to the story itself is also very sweet. Like, they seem to get it. They seem to like fully understand. I think this is going to bring them more empathy towards Ice King. I'm excited to see what happens with the four of them in the future. I mean, it feels like they all needed a found family, and they kind of have it to some degree. I mean, especially Finn and Jake, but Finn and Jake don't have their parents around anymore, right? And so, or I don't think they're not still alive. I'm being dumb right now. Right? Are they dead?
Oh, yeah, Jake's parents are dead.
Okay. Okay, you were just like looking at me and nodding. And
no,
I was like,
no, Jake's parents are passed away.
Help me. Help me on that. You know, so like they don't have any family. And Marceline clearly does not talk to her dad or doesn't like her dad, or like they've had episodes where they tried to mend their relationship, and then he just ends up trying to make her take over the family business of chaos. So I think their family that they're forming with this crazy grandpa and Marceline, like the big sister, and Jake and Finn is just a really beautiful family dynamic. And I hope they keep playing into that as this show progresses. I hope this isn't the end or like the one, okay, we're good now. We can move on with the story and not focus on this at all.
No, they keep going into it. And I can't remember if it's after this episode specifically or if it's more around some of the episodes when Betty gets more involved. Like Finn for the rest of the show really refers to the Ice King as Simon, like no matter what. Like he sees him. And there's a spoiler drop here that there's like an episode where he's like, there's an episode where Simon kind of comes back for a minute. Finn gets these eyes that are like cursed eyes where he sees everybody and they turn into the way that he sees them and perceives them. Ice King rolls in and Finn looks at him and he turns into Simon Petrikov again.
Cool.
And then Jake goes, dude, is that really how you see him? And he's like, yeah, man. He goes, that's beautiful, man.
And so like, that's beautiful. Yeah.
And so Finn does over time, and this is the beginning of Finn kind of getting broken down, not seeing Ice King as an antagonist anymore, and like really seeing him as as Simon. He knows the story before. I think he knew the story before a little bit, that just from Holly Jolly Secrets, but that was about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I wondered too, though, where this place is Princess Bubblegum, like where she fits into this found family of theirs. Because clearly, like her and Marcy are a little bit better after they had the episode where they were kind of singing at each other. And then she revealed that she still had the t-shirt. Princess Bubblegum revealed she still had Marcy's t-shirt that she gave her. But PB and Finn, to my knowledge, still are kind of on iffy grounds. So we'll see how that plays out. Maybe Finn's gotten over it. I mean, he's been dating Flame Princess for who knows how long now.
Yeah, well, you know, I think Princess Bubblegum is still his friend, but I think we see him there in the Candy Kingdom a lot less, because that's really like, if you think about it, he's the champion of Princess Bubblegum. So that's kind of like his day job. He will respond to the call. You know, in the last episode when they were...
She just can't be like another big sister or whatever, right? Because of his past feelings for her the way that she's treated him and stuff. So I'm guessing that she doesn't ever, or at least for a while now, like she hasn't fit into this family yet. And she probably needs it too. Like, let's be real. Who does Princess Bubblegum have other than a bunch of little candy people that she's in charge of, that she's not close to any of, you know?
Yeah, but she's been around for like 1,000 years. Like, she knows how to get through this stuff. And you'll see what
you don't need people. So is Marceline.
Well, you'll see what she did when she's, I'm not going to spoil anything here, but there is an answer to the question. Like, well, when does she need people? When does she need people in her life to be like friends and family? And so I just think she's old enough to have screwed up a lot of relationships to where she keeps most people. I think that her true confidant is Peppermint Butler at this point. Well, and it's just from like a butler employee perspective.
So she just makes new old Mr. Cream Puffs whenever she needs somebody to date?
I guess so. Well, I don't think she dates anymore either. I think she's over it per se.
All right. Well, interesting. Ned, do you have a tops for this episode? I don't have like punchables. It's just a really good episode.
I really don't have a specific tops of this episode, just again, because I think it's just so well-rounded in general. I think one of the tops of, I've seen this episode 1,000 times. Obviously, this was an easy go back to. This will be in my top 5 for season 5, I'm pretty sure.
100%.
But I'd say the top moment that I don't think I ever realized was they freeze the deer in the ball, right? Mm-hmm. And then Marceline goes, oh, if there's deer, there might be more deer in the forest. Next scene, like immediately cuts to the scene, they've got a hunk of meat roasting over the fire.
They killed the deer.
And then, the next day she's like, I made you breakfast, this deer guts and pine needles. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they busted the ice and killed the deer. Like,
that deer is dead. I don't think you stay alive if you get frozen. You know, this isn't a cartoon, Ned. Come on.
I never realized it was, I think I just always breeze over that. So just watching it for the millionth time, the little subtlety that I was like, oh my gosh, they thawed and ate that deer. It's pretty brutal.
They did. And in that same scene too, I love it feels like a trope. It feels like a kind of a classic TV thing where there's a broken TV and someone goes behind it and tries to like puppeteer a TV show for somebody else. And of course that's where he does Cheers. And he says, this episode's been filmed in front of a live audience, which I was going to say about this podcast, but clearly not the case. That would have been great. We really need to one day have, you have tracks now that you can just press and play. So we need to get just like an audience clapping or laughing whenever we do a terrible joke. I'm sure
just have some sort of like soundboard thing.
This was the episode we should have done that with, man. We messed up by not doing that. But the moment of him kind of performing Cheers for her, and I do love that she mutes it and he just kind of keeps talking, you know, or pretending like he's talking. It reminded me, for whatever reason, of the SpongeBob episode where Squidward quits his job and ends up homeless, and then SpongeBob goes and like, oh, you can stay with me. And
SpongeBob is doing the TV shows himself.
Yeah, and he's basically just saying like, why don't you go get a job, or like stop slouching off on my friends and go get a job? You know, that whole moment.
Yeah.
And it's just the funny connection for me is, of course, Tom Kennedy doing SpongeBob and doing Ice King.
And Ice King, yeah. And that's kind of funny. Two different shows. Episodes
doing the same thing, basically.
Doing the same thing, but that is really funny, actually.
So,
what's the top moments? Did you have like good lessons from this episode? Or any deeper? I mean, we kind of went over mine a little bit, but I can kind of summarize them up into my lessons.
Well, you know, the real lesson from this episode, it's that chicken noodle soup can cure anything. That's the lesson I have.
It does actually sound pretty good right now.
It does sounds pretty good. I had soup, but not that soup today for lunch. I think Sam Alley is planning on having some chicken noodle soup for lunch, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. But I also thought about this. I kind of took a moment and just I decided that I need to stop freaking myself out from everything that I hear on TikTok. It's nothing to do with chicken noodle soup, but something about thinking about chicken noodle soup curing all made me think, you know, I should really calm down because I'm thinking about sugars, I'm thinking about seed oils, I'm thinking about microplastics, the lack of fiber in my diet.
That side of TikTok. Dude, water that side filters, of TikTok is bullshit.
My stepbrother Kevin, Swifties, Mount Everest, and leftover rice. You know, there's just so many things that I see on TikTok that really have been driving me crazy recently. And I need to be a little bit more chill about it all. I think there is something like useful to take from all of them. Like certainly like use more virgin olive oil, right? Like have less sugars, especially anything on your products that says added sugars, like stay away from all that. But I, you know, like my stepbrother Kevin's cool. TikTok needs to get off of that. Like Swifties are okay. They can do their own thing. They're allowed to be obsessed with Taylor Swift. Mount Everest is not coming after me. Leftover rice could kill you. So just be careful with that one.
is this what has been causing your anxiety for the last week?
this is the lesson has been anxiety.
I can usually follow your tangents, but you lost me there about three different times. I came back and then you lost me again.
That was my goal. And that's how my, this is your brain on TikTok. So that's my lesson.
That's your lesson. I guess my two on this one, the obvious one, or not the obvious, but my deeper thought was, you know, take advantage of the time you have now with your loved ones because you don't know as you change and grow what will change from that dynamic. And that's just like, that's what I got from that moment is that Simon is loving on Marcy so much, but all of it is in the wake of he wish he could have loved on Betty that much too and misses that, you know, the past.
Well, man, even then, in the present, like you're always going to want to go where everybody knew your name in the past.
Was it the
always
Ed Helms,
be thinking about it.
The Ed Helms from The Office quote, like, don't you wish you knew it was the good times when they were happening? The good old days when they were happening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's kind of, and then also like, I think in the way just we were talking about the crown and protecting Marcy, like I didn't really go deep into this, but, cause I think there's not a good way to describe it or put an example on it, I guess, but sometimes the best way to protect your loved ones too, is not the most obvious. Sometimes your defense mechanisms are more detrimental to harming you and others than they are to protecting you. Think about like, having a sarcastic attitude and it being, you know, more detrimental to your loved one, even though it's protecting you and triggering situations, calming them down, but it's long-term, not a good thing. Or, I want to be more social. And every time I have to be social, I have to be like plastered drunk. Like that's a good defense mechanism, but not very good in terms of long-term sustaining. Same thing with Ice King here. You know, it's really great that he can be super powerful and protect Marceline with the crown, but the better way to protect her would be to probably just have gotten rid of the crown altogether, you know?
Yeah. Though, I mean, what do you do in situations with all the Oozers, right? Like, I really felt like he had no choice, at least in that situation. Yeah. And I'm sure there have been other ones.
And I guess if he was considering it self-sacrifice, not, if he was considering it sacrificial, not heroic per se, you know?
Yeah.
More like
dude, I gotta say, I mean, I think I talked about this earlier, right? Where I mentioned that I reacted to this episode for the Patreon. There is a moment we skipped over that I got a really good laugh out, especially with my reaction. He finds a motorcycle. He wants to carry Marceline. So he finds a motorcycle in the bushes. He's like, let's hop on this bad boy and we'll make it in the town all right. And I paused it and I went, oh man, like freaking Simon's got a bite. This is awesome.
Yeah, we're going to get like full Walking Dead here. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like this episode just got super cool. And then like press play, he falls off of it. It goes down the hill and explodes into a building. And then I paused the recording or I started the recording and I went, well, that didn't last long. Like, I got a good laugh out of that just for the pure, like, irony of my situation of recording and like being pumped about this motorcycle that disappeared immediately. But yeah, anyways, those are just another tops for this episode that I didn't mention while we were talking about the episode itself.
Yeah, it was, yeah, the whole beginning of this episode, I think, was filled with, there's a lot of good subtleties in this episode. I didn't want to spend too much time doing a shot for shot analysis on it, but
that's why I was like, I had to plug the Patreon. I mean, come on.
Plug the Patreon. You know? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But yes, go follow us on Patreon. Go hear Russell's reactions to this one. And Russell, we've talked too much about this one. We're gonna start circling in the same topics. What's your recommendation for the week?
Ooh, dude, my recommendation. It's something else you can watch. Something else you can go back to the good old days when you were in middle school for me and maybe elementary school for people that watched this show when they were younger. Naruto, the original Naruto series is what I'm going to recommend. I've gone back.
I have a feeling this has been your rec. Well, no, I don't know. Maybe you just talked about it because we didn't do it for at least first 100 episodes of this podcast.
Maybe Naruto Shippuden at one point, you know, but the original Naruto series is something that we're going back to right now because we caught up, embarrassing, we caught up on One Piece. we're there. We've reached
1500.
Well, so we've caught up on the English version. I just really like the voice acting. I gotta admit, like, I'm not a dubs or subs just totally depends on the show itself for me. But I, as a kid, of course, watched the dubbed version of One Piece. So I love the way that Luffy sounds and all that. So we've been watching the dub. We're caught up 1,048 episodes of One Piece. Oof. And more are coming in, like, well, it's supposed to be mid-February. It's February 25th right now. Who knows when they're going to come out on Crunchyroll, but we're caught up. So we needed something else. So the original Naruto is what I put on because I started watching a lot of Naruto videos on YouTube and listening to people talk about the lore and all that. And I was like, ah, man, all right, I got to get back in it. And the second opening song in Naruto, I think it comes in like episode maybe 5 or so, like pretty early on, they switched the opening songs to a song by Asian Kung Fu Generation, and it's freaking incredible. Ned, I'll send it to you after this podcast, just the opening. I mean, if the song itself doesn't inspire you to want to watch Naruto, I'm not really sure what will, because it's incredible. So that's my record for this episode.
And Naruto is the shorter one, and Naruto Shippuden is the really long one, right?
You know, it's hard to say that it's shorter because it's still pretty damn long. Okay. Pretty long.
I've always heard people talk about the differences. I'm not a Naruto person because it's, I think, just another can of worms. It's going to be too time consuming for me to crack open.
It's but worth it.
For some
I
reason,
really
I've always
worth it, though.
Heard someone say, like, well, Naruto Shippuden's when you start really going down the rabbit hole and more intensely than the you know, original or whatever. So.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
It looks to me that Naruto has 220 episodes in it, and then Naruto Shippuden has about 500.
Okay, so it's double expansive. So not like crazy, but double.
But it's one of those, man, where there's a ton of filler because, again, like, it caught up to the manga really fast, and so they had to like really just throw in like a season's worth of filler into Naruto. So you can look up episodes to skip and skip over all the filler and be better for it, probably. When I originally watched the Naruto series, and I'm not finished with Shippuden, I'm on like 340 of it or something. You know, I watched every single episode just because I loved it so much. Didn't matter to me if it was filler. But now I'm skipping the really dumb filler episodes that I've seen before that I don't ever need to see again. But it's a really good story.
That's
it's
a
really
good story. I've tried getting through the Clone Wars like twice and still stopped on like season 5 each time. And I was like, I got to go back and do it again and skip through just like the episodes I know are like stupid filler episodes.
Well, I look at Naruto and One Piece as these epics that you don't speed through. You're there for a journey. You're there to watch for a 30 episode chunk and then take a break and walk away from it and then come back for the next 30 episodes when you feel ready for that adventure again. Like, they really are sort of, in a way, the epics of our time. Unfortunately, Naruto Shippuden at the end takes a weird turn. But everything leading up to the end of Naruto Shippuden is really just such a fun journey. And it's really an incredible like ninja universe that you get to live in for a little bit. Same with One Piece. Like, One Piece is like pirates that are best friends that are trying to tear down tyrannical governments, you know? So I don't know. It's all good, but we're an Adventure Time podcast. Ned, what's your rec?
I'll give you, again, I got several recommendations. I'll let you choose the category. We've got products. We are not sponsored. These are just products that I... food. And food slash product. Or movie slash nerddom.
I want products. I want to know what products. Like for your hair?
No. So actually just... It is something I don't... get stuff that is Instagram sponsored content very often, but there was ads for these pants called Jishinman pants.
Oh no way! Did you actually buy them? Because we're not sponsored. I'm
wearing them right now. About them. Zero bit sponsored. They are awesome. They
really
super,
you like them?
Super lightweight.
It's linen, is it not?
Yeah, it's like a really thin linen pant, and that's what? Like not like
it's a jumper. It's not like,
Yeah. They kind of feel like
they say they're Japanese style jumpers. I'm pretty sure it's, you know, probably.
Yeah, but it's this brand specifically. I've never gotten one before because some of them just look like overly Japanese, like cultural appropriation Japanese.
Yeah.
And these are just very, they just look like Gen Z pants. So I'm like,
freaking believe you bought them because I've gotten those advertisements for over a year now. And I've been on the verge of buying them constantly.
Dude, pull the trigger for $30 because, again, I work from home. I've had these pants. They're called Thai fisherman pants where they're just like two long pieces of fabric holes in a belt that you tie around. I've worn those for like 2-3 years now and they're super comfy for working at home. These are like that I can actually like wear out in public and like look like a normal person. So,
wow. Okay.
I've seen some bad reviews about them. I'm about to go buy my second pair because I'm like, again, from a work from home mentality and I can just like not have to change pants to go to the store. I'm going to buy them.
What color you got? I got to know. We can talk about this later.
I got black ones and they've got my dog hair all over them. So I'm going to get some gray ones.
Cool. Anyways, y'all, you know, it's hard to say, do your own research because I've seen a lot of negative reviews. It could totally just be Ned has the perfect like lower body for these pants.
Maybe so, know? Yeah.
So, and we have similar lower bodies.
That's what I'm saying.
We've done a lot of comparing.
Bare minimum, they're just a really great wear around the house pant. Like good pajama pant style stuff. But I think they hit the mark of like enough pockets. They've got back pockets. Like you can wear them out, you know?
Cool. All right. Well, I'm actually wildly excited about your rec because that makes me want to just pull the trigger. I've been looking for, because of not that, I've been looking for linen jumpers is the category that I want to find.
Yeah.
If y'all know of any good ones, y'all could hit us up on the Traveler's Log. And next week we'll actually have a Traveler's Log that we can talk about. I didn't want to do it this week because I felt like this was a good episode. It had enough material that we could really dive into it. Next week, the episode we're talking about is called A Glitch, and you know, it is an
might
episode.
Might be a really short episode.
It's an episode they created, and they put out there, and it was on Cartoon Network, and it's an episode.
I know.
Sure.
I wish we could skip it. It's not that it's a bad episode. I think some people probably like it a lot, but between this is episode 14 that we just did, Glitch is 15. 16, I think, is also one of my favorites of season 5. So
I've seen a lot of people mention Puhoi. Is that how you pronounce it? So a lot of people have said that's their favorite episode, especially on our Discord. I think we have like 4 or 5 people from the Discord.
It comes up a lot because it's a really interesting concept. Especially now that we know a lot more about the multiverse too. So. Mm-hmm. But I'll leave it at that. We are going to close this episode
down. Our
episode's
going to be awesome on it. Look forward to next week, y'all, because we're going to crush it. I'm going to do my best to say only a few negative things about the episode. And by that, I mean, you know, I just don't like 3D animation. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It's my fault. I'm the problem. Taylor Swifties, they understand. I am the problem. I'm admitting it. Like, that's the first step, you know, to moving on and bettering yourself. But check us out on Instagram at Never Ending Adventure Podcast, TikTok at Never Ending Adventure Cast, Twitter at NEA_podcast. Email us your thoughts, your opinions. Get on the Traveler's Log at NEA.travelerslog@gmail.com. If you do a review for us, we haven't really plugged this in a while. Like, we will definitely still send you a sticker. We have a running list of people that we owe stickers to. And we will eventually get NEA podcast sticker.
I need to get back. I'm the one that has the excess stickers right now, and I just haven't hopped into that list in a minute. So
I keep forgetting to grab them from you.
And you keep forgetting to grab them.
We'll talk about it. And there's also stickers for the NEA and Beyond podcast, which is part of the Patreon. And we love our lovelies and our sexies that are committed to helping us fund this podcast that you're listening to now on the Patreon. I know we've talked about it a lot, but we can't thank them enough. It makes it so much easier and so much more practical for us to do a podcast that we pay for production for. And we love them, and we love y'all as well. Just not as much.
Just not as much. Just a little bit less.
I'm just messing, y'all. The absolute best. I hope you have a wonderful week, Ned. You specifically. I mean this when I say this. Party forever.
And I mean this through you too. I love you.
Oh, thank you.